You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you, Mike McNamara, for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the tribal headquarters of All Marine Radio and Post Traumatic Winning. That's right. Welcome to the house. I got an email earlier today. Hey, Mac. I'm curious, are you surprised by this? And the title of the email was Post-Traumatic Winning. And the answer to that is no, I'm not. In the course of doing, you know, getting involved in the radio business, which I'd never intended to get involved by, you know, I never aspired to it. I listened to it. I would argue with those guys in my car. But I got involved in it by accident. I called into a radio show one day. They were talking about deadly force. A police officer had shot and killed a guy who had murdered his mother with a knife and stabbed his father. I can't remember off the top of my head whether his father died, but at the time of the incident, his father wasn't dead. And he was downtown in a standoff with a police officer and where I lived, this happened in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. And I lived across the river in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So a town like many on the river, right, with elements, breaking news. The Supreme Court allows the Trump administration to enforce its transgender ban. And that is laid at the feet of General Mattis, and it's the right policy. So, and I don't even think that transgender ban is the appropriate term for it. What the policy does is it outlines the you know, conditions under which we all serve, and that if transgender individuals can qualify, and if they can be worldwide deployable, then they're eligible to serve. If they can't, then they can't. They're not a special class of citizen in the country. And just as you would be med boarded if, you know, you were going to, you know, not be able to be, you know, active for 3 years because of a knee injury, they would get you out of the military. So, if you're going to hear a lot of stuff about this. But breaking news this morning. But anyway, so this police officer is in a standoff with the guy with the knife. And what does he know? He knows that, you know, he's already killed his mother and his father, possibly. Just what you know from listening to, you know, radio calls as a police officer. And so the picture that appears in the paper is the police officer's head down, and he's got his back to the suspect who's now been shot and killed. Suspect's laying on the ground. And the police officer kind of has his head down, walking away with a shotgun in his hand. And, you know, and people just were calling up and saying just the stupidest stuff. So I was working, and I was running a plate against sports that some guys I knew had opened, and they knew I had been from California where plate against sports was huge. And so they asked me. He said, "Hey, you know, would you want to run this thing for us?" And I said, "Yeah." I was looking. I'd only lived there for a year. I'd worked for Special Olympics North Dakota for the year, and I was looking to get in the business community to make more money and whatnot. So I'm running this. So I'm working. I don't even know if the store was open, and I'm at work doing whatever I was doing, and listening. And so I called in. And, you know, I was on hold for whatever. And then I'd come on, and I introduced myself. I said, "Hi, my name's Mike. I used to be in the Marine Corps. I used to guard nuclear weapons. I am intimately familiar with the ins and outs of deadly force. And I want to tell you, when that guy has already killed people, and he's in a standoff with a police officer, that the police officer has every right to defend himself and the community. And for all the people that say, why couldn't he shot him in the leg? Why weren't there non-lethal means there?" Now, this would have been around 1999, right? So non-lethal means, while they were discussed, I don't know they were as prevalent. He could have shot him with the beanbag, or he could have, I don't even think tasers were that prevalent. But anyway, you know, so you hear all that stuff. So I said, first of all, if you want to take the beanbag thing up, that's a question for the city council, who funds the police department and the chief of police, not the police officer. Police officer is out there alone and unafraid with whatever they got, you know, and maybe they have him in other cars. I don't know, but maybe it wasn't in his. Okay. And as far as trying to shoot to wound, you know, let's just say for the sake of discussion, he's never shot anybody. Okay. Most police officers haven't. Okay. So he gets up this morning and he goes to work, and all of a sudden he's faced with this. His heart is racing, right? As he's getting ready to subdue this guy. And this guy's not cooperating. And he's got a knife, and he's already killed somebody. So let's go down that rabbit hole. So we go down that rabbit. So I said, he tries to shoot him in the leg. He misses. As he tries to chamber a second round, he gets a stovepipe jam as the shell doesn't eject properly. The suspect now is coming towards him. His shotgun is jammed. And now he's got to dispense with the shotgun, try to get his pistol out as the attacker, you know, is on him. And now he's fighting for his life. He doesn't have to do that, okay? He doesn't have to do that. He has every right to shoot that guy, and he has every right to shoot him in the chest and kill him. All right? When the police show up armed and you're a criminal, right? When you don't do what they say, then, you know, you roll the dice with your life. And so he kept me on for about 15 minutes talking about it. And then that's how my radio career got going. A day or two later, the guy who owned the radio station came in and he said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing radio?" And I said, "Would I get paid?" He said, "Yeah, it's a job." I said, "Whoa. Yeah, I'd love to. And he says, "Well, it's not that easy." I said, "I know I can do it. I argue in the car all the time, and my arguments normally are better." He said, "Okay." So that's how I got started. But the thing that I've learned when you do this for a living is, you know, you get very attuned to stories and the power of somebody's voice. And so, first of all, the truth is really important. And when I set out, it was last summer, I'd done All Marine Radio for 2 years, and I've done all the great interviews that you hear, and I listen to them, right? When I'm doing them, I listen to them. I mean, it's what I love. I love talking about history. I love talking about the Marine Corps. And so you get a chance to interview, you know, guys like Butch Neal, guys like Jim Bathurst, guys like General Tony Zinni, you know, and guys like squad leaders like Jack Riley, you know, PFC on Iwo Jima, Cal Humphrey. So you get a chance. I mean, it's like, I mean, come on, we're actually going to call this work. So anyway, I listen to that stuff and I hear these powerful moments, and I know the power of the voice. And so when I last summer began to kind of distill these things into something that was absolutely what I call the eight commandments of post-traumatic winning, right? They're truth after truth after truth after truth, okay, that would be irrefutable. And I was telling somebody the other day that I've heard, you know, that thing was given to about 9,000 people. And I haven't got one email that has written back to me that said, "Oh, by the way, commandment number 7 is ridiculous." So, I mean, they're just the basic truths as I've learned them. And so when you couple those truths, and again, I'm astounded, honestly, that you have adult people that have been to see therapists that will walk up to me and say, "I've never heard this, this, or this. I've never heard that there's nothing wrong with you." That to me is astounding. And it makes me question the whole mental health profession. Because, remember, it's a for-profit industry. It's a for-profit industry. And so if you go see a therapist, maybe not at the VA, but if you have a private therapist, are they interested in turning you around and getting them off their rolls? You're a client. That's whatever it is an hour, $100, $200, whatever they charge. You fill up a slot. They have X number of slots in the month. And when you leave, then do they have somebody to replace them? So, and I say that because what other explanation can you give somebody for not telling them, "You're not going to get over this"? Right? And I know the power of this stuff. I know the power of this stuff. And then when you couple it with powerful stories, like my sister's, and I haven't even put into the program, and I will, the actual audio of my sister Peggy talking about, you know, the way her kids were murdered. But I will. So the presentation is going to get about 50% better than it was the first time we gave it. And so my point in saying all this is in response to this email. Are you surprised? No. It's humbling to watch something that you've crafted blow up like this. And again, it hasn't even hit. It's right now, it's just rumbling. It's rumbling out of the 2nd Marine Division. All right? It's rumbling out of the 2nd Marine Division. And so next week we'll do it for at the General Officer Symposium, and we won't do it. We'll kind of explain it and give samples of it because we have very, very short period of time. And so then it will have a chain reaction. There's no doubt in my mind. So no, I'm not surprised. When you hear Varnado Simpson talking about his son, right? Anybody who hears it and just says, whoa, wow, right? So, no, I'm not surprised. And the people that listen to All Marine Radio aren't surprised either. It's kind of interesting to hear their thoughts on it because they know the power too. They know the power. And I've had a number of people email me saying, it's awesome, totally predictable, though. And I'll respond, really? And they say, yep. I mean, you freeze me on a regular basis. Your guests, the power of their stories, all that stuff freezes me. And so the fact that it would freeze a larger audience, all you're talking about is scale. I said, whoa, scale? Really? We're going to do that? But it's true. It's true. So no, I'm not surprised. Here's an email about the transgender ban. The headline is a little bit misleading when they say transgender ban. It is certainly not a ban. I would liken it to more transgender terms of service, which means you have to be worldwide deployable. And if you're contemplating a surgical remedy to your gender dysphoria, the military is not the right place for you. That whole process was very interesting for me to learn when you went down that road one day, Mac. I think that is why Secretary Mattis's argument won in the Supreme Court. It isn't Trump's ban. It is Mattis's policy that won. There's a big difference. Whoa, I like that. It wasn't Trump's ban. It was Mattis's policy. And again, I think it doesn't prohibit people that are transgender from, because under the broad heading of transgender, you're talking about people that are cross-dressers. They identify with one gender, although they may be another. Hello. And so all of that. So breaking news this morning. Another email. Come on, Mac. You have to be surprised. I've listened to some of this stuff, and I will tell you what, it's crazy. The other cool thing about listening to you guys is you can hear it in your voices. I've heard that before. When you guys were in North Carolina talking about this on a nightly basis, you could hear it in your voices how blown away you were. I think Gunner used the word overwhelming. I think that's the right word. I'm not surprised, right? Because it happens with listeners all the time. It happens with listeners all the time. So, anyway, am I surprised? No. Humbled, overwhelmed? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I said this the other day, but, you know, these stories, I mean, they're deep stories in your life. And the fact that they might help other people is I don't know, fulfilling. Fulfilling's not the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but it's not fulfilling. It is, I don't know, gives meaning to, I don't know the right phraseology, but that feels good as well. So anyway, What are we going to do on the show? You know what? I don't really know. I'm not going to name anybody, but I had a guest cancel here. And so the second hour is open. So if you'd like to hear a interview again, let me know. If you'd like to hear something else, let me know. I'm open to all suggestions at this point. So we'll check the news. We will, we'll check the news. That's what we're doing as we get going here on a Tuesday. So hope you had a nice three-day weekend. For those of you who took the three-day weekend, the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning. This is dedicated to the Secretary of Defense. That's right, the former Secretary of Defense. And the reason I do that is this: the president tweeted out his transgender ban, if you recall that, okay? And he blasted it out on Twitter, and then the Secretary of Defense said, "There's no change here at the Department of Defense." You can imagine how that went over with D. Trump. And then the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, in the absence of any directive from the Secretary of Defense, the Department of Defense, I'm sorry, his guidance to the service chief was continue to march under all current and standing orders. Got it. So, the Secretary of Defense said, I need some time to study this. And so that's what he did. He studied it. So that was going to be the great question, whether the president, who loves his generals, could stand it when they told him the truth. Ultimately, he can't. So this is dedicated to James N. Mattis, General, United States Marine Corps.
Our flag comes through. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man. But I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know, I listen to that every day, and I like that. I like all that whole montage. You talk about the power of powerful audio. That's what all that stuff is to me. All right, we'll check weather in Marineland. Sunny and 24 in Quantico, cold on the East Coast. And at Camp Lejeune down in North Carolina, it is sunny and 30. Granbury, Texas, clouds and 62. Grand Palms, sunny and 42, so California got cold again. At Camp Pendleton, sunny and 38. Are you kidding me? What in the world? Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 59. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, in Ramadi, it is late in the day. It is cloudy and 52. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where Task Force Southwest makes a living, Dale Alford and Company, it is clear, dark, and 41 degrees, so cold in Helmand. At the home of All Marine Radio, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 52 degrees under mostly cloudy skies, looking for a high of 66 today. There's a beach hazard event going on and a small craft advisory, which means going to be some wind in the forecast. Tomorrow 69, and then on Thursday 74 degrees. So Yeah, it's about time. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. If you have any programming suggestions, I just got one. My quality assurance individual, who's not even American, for God's sake, she's Canadian, eh? Yeah, the Canadians lost to the, I think they lost to the Russians in the World Junior Tournament. That's not how they plan that thing, especially when it's on the home soil. So anyway, the I was going to say something. Hold on, it'll come to me. Or it won't. All right. More Ball Marine Radio coming up. Oh, no. She said Sergeant Major Bell's interview from 2016. You know, I should begin, you know, I should probably play one of those on a regular basis, because most people who listen have not heard them. Because in 2016, there wasn't too many people listening. There were some, but there weren't too many. And the other thing is, I did not know how to play on the internet. I did not know how to tag files and things like that. So if I dredge that stuff up every once in a while, it gets into circulation a lot of times for the first time. So maybe I will peruse 2016. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions, from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter
Peyton Davis.
Feel the sting of letting go.
Post traumatic winning song.
Of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears.
All right, here comes the harmony. Ready? Here it comes.
Yeah, let it all out.
Don't ask me why I like that, but I do.
But right,
it is, again.
It's just me.
It's your sister singing with her. You might know that. Here's another suggestion. Mac, how about Jack Riley again? Which one? I think he was on three. He was on three different times. Jack Riley speaks Alabamese. Well, goodness, Mike. All right, we're in time for us to check the news here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Tomorrow, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny are going to join me, and we're going to talk about events around the world. And then on Thursday, Sergeant Major of 10th Marine Regiment is going to join me. And so we'll get his thoughts on what he saw, talking about post-traumatic winning. So he wrote a pretty impressive email, so... And I didn't know him. We still have never met. And so I've come to find out that he's widely respected, which most sergeant majors are, but that's like any rank, some more than other. All right, some news. In case you missed it last week, the news takes holidays. I don't know if you know that. When all the reporters and the editors and everybody goes, takes their 3-day weekends, there isn't much news. All right, Lee Ermey laid to rest, at the end of last week. He, the star of Full Metal Jacket and others. U.S. airstrike in Somalia kills 52 Al-Shabaab extremists. Yeah. And so it's kind of odd when you see stories like that, because most of these groups don't present targets like that. And they don't present targets like that for a very specific reason, and that is when they mass to conduct an attack, they become a target for ordnance, however it is delivered. Anyway, the U.S. statement did not say whether any Somali forces were killed or wounded by the al-Qaeda-linked extremist al-Shabaab via its Shadala Network news agency asserted that its attack on two Somali army bases killed at least 41 soldiers. It described the location as the Bar Sanjuni area near the port city of Kismayo. There was no immediate comment from the Somali government. So that is in the news. The remains of four Americans were brought back to the country, and the president was on hand to greet them at Dover Air Force Base on Saturday. There's an article in the New York Times that said that that this group had been there to this restaurant, and it was a favorite place of Americans. Senators had dined there, blah 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 blah. So, I'm not over there, and you hate to cast judgment, but the world that we lived in Iraq especially, when you set a pattern for yourself, you, at some point, you were going to pay for it. And so, I don't know, in a town as contested as Manbij is, it's just hard for me to believe that they would, you know, they would frequent something like that on that kind of occasion. They must have done it to the extent, you know, that everybody knew. And so, anyway, stories about climate change and the major installations of the United States military. And so that's out there, but its critics say it's a bit squishy. The House Armed Services Committee sees an influx of both women and veterans. Let's see. This year's House Armed Services Committee will feature more veterans from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan than ever before, and also boasts its largest contingent of female veterans crafting defense policy. Democrats are adding 16 new members to the influential military panel, which in the coming weeks will begin work on the annual defense authorization bill that sets the tone for military priorities and spending. Combined with two new Republican members, that means nearly a third of the 62-member panel will be new this session, a significant amount of turnover for one of the more prominent congressional committees. However, its chairman, Chairman Adam Smith, Republican Washington, okay, he can't be the chairman anymore because the Democrats run Congress, and normally they don't allow his party's misrepresented. He's not. Adam Smith isn't a Republican. He's a Democrat. Has served on the panel since 1997, and been the Democrats' top lawmaker on the committee since 2010. Most of the top Republican and Democratic leadership have served on the committee for almost a decade. The newly elected members Colorado Democrat Jason Crow served with the Army in Iraq and Afghanistan. Maine Democrat Jared Golden, a Marine Corps veteran who also served in both wars, and Florida Republican Michael Waltz, a former Green Beret who deployed to Afghanistan. Four female veterans are on the committee, all Democrats. Republican Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. Did I say Republican? I meant Representative. Representative Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania. Representative Elaine Luria of Virginia. And Representative Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey. Well, so quite the diverse group in heading to the House Armed Service Committee. One more story we'll talk about real quick, and that is out of Afghanistan. U.S. peace envoy in Afghanistan, : Washington wants to see peace in Afghanistan. Well, we know that. So what you're telling me is this is a non-story. U.S. peace envoy Zalmay Khalilzad said on Saturday that Washington was ready to address legitimate concerns of all Afghan sides in order to restore peace in Afghanistan. Since being appointed in September, Khalilzad has met with all sides, including the Taliban, Afghan officials, and Pakistan's political and military leadership in efforts aimed to find a negotiated end to America's longest war in neighboring Afghanistan. The Taliban currently control nearly half of Afghanistan and are more powerful than at any time since the 2001-led invasion. Khalilzad took to Twitter on Saturday saying, quote, "I see that many are concerned that the United States is willing to both talk and fight. Let me be clear. The U.S. wants peace. Hashtag peace." He said it was urgent that fighting ends in Afghanistan, but, quote, "pursuing peace still means we need to fight." So let me get this straight. So you think that if we're interested in peace, we should lay down our weapons in spite of you making no either gesture or say, yeah, we'll declare a ceasefire. We want you to do the same and let's talk. Stupid stuff. You know what it reminds me of? I don't know how many people were, if you're old enough, you remember Vietnam and how long we argued about what shape the table would be. How long was the argument over the shape of the table at the Paris peace talks, Vietnam War? There it is, history.com. Prolonged discussion over the shape of the table. Yeah, I mean, it went on for... I was a little kid, right? Prolonged discussion over the shape of the negotiating table was finally resolved by the placement of two square tables separated by a round table. Yeah. I don't know how long that went on for, but I want to say my recollection is it went on for months. So what does that tell you? We're not really interested in negotiating peace here. You might think we are, but we're really not. The president was on hand, as I said. The remains of four Americans were brought back on a C-17, as much as the custom of the nation. So that's the top story. Number two, climate change threatens majority of mission critical bases, according to a Pentagon report. Now, climate change always gets a lot of people to roll their eyes. Okay. And so is it within the left and right lateral limits of what's gone on planet Earth for a long time, which we'll have some people say, or you have the Chicken Little crowd that says this is something different. The January 2019 report entitled Report on Effects of Changing Climate on the Department of Defense was submitted to Congress last Thursday without an official announcement of the report or a public release. Several environmental organizations made the report publicly available on Friday After several reporters questioned why the report was not made public by DOD, the Pentagon published it midday on Friday. The Pentagon did not assess all of its hundreds of installations. Instead, it selected 79 mission assurance priority installations based on their operational role. In its assessment of those 79 installations, which include Army, Navy, Air Force, and notably no Marine bases, the services reported that 53, why was the Corps left out of it? Wait a minute, what happened to us? The services reported that 53 out of 79 faced current threats from flooding, 43 of the 79 faced current threats from drought, and 36 of the 79 faced current threats from wildfires. Okay, so, but hasn't that always been the case since we set them up? So that's nothing new. Critics of the report not only said the report not only fell short of Congress's direction, but also questioned why not a single Marine Corps base was included. The report did not mention last year's massive storm damage to military installations. Tyndall Air Base sustained serious damage to almost all of its buildings by Hurricane Michael, and Marine Corps, the Marines' Camp Lejeune was badly damaged by Hurricane Florence. Commandant, I think, is down there today, checking it out. Yeah, that's what my sources tell me. The next story here on a Tuesday morning. This is Marine Corps Times. It's about Lee Ermey, a legacy of honorable and faithful service. Iconic Marine R. Lee Ermey laid to rest in snowy Arlington National Cemetery. So we talked about that. We played a bunch of his audio yesterday. If you missed, you should check it out. The first hour of yesterday's broadcast has Dr. King's I've Been, not I've Been to the Mountaintop. It has, wait a minute. I have his I Have a Dream speech. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I should have played them back to back because they're kind of really different. But Gunnery Sergeant Hartman's, some of his wit and wisdom in From Full Metal Jacket, which launched the career of Lee Ermey. So he was an iconic Marine. His mail call shows, hilarious. Absolutely, positively hilarious. And so it's called an outro, right? So when you're throwing it to a commercial, or something, it's called, an outro. But his used to be so funny, right? They have full episodes on, They have full episodes on YouTube. But when he'd be throwing it to commercials, and he would say, "All right, fat body, it was just so hilarious." All right, I'm going to play a little bit of Mail Call right here because, you know, I don't know how many people saw Full Metal Jacket, but Mail Call was on what, the History Channel?
Down and shut your trap. It's time for Mail Call.
Right? That's all he did was he played a Marine, right?
Welcome to Mail Call.
Now, he's driving someplace. And he's driving a mule, right? For those of you who don't know what a mule is, you'll see, if you see footage of Vietnam, you'll see these little flatbed carts, right? There's no windshield, and all it is, it's an engine, I don't know how many, probably four wheels, and a flatbed back. I imagine you could have put sides on them if you wanted to. Some genius probably, you know, figured that out. But he's driving down the road, right, with his signature Marine Corps cover on.
I hope you're ready to log a little flight time. Hoorah! I just got back from the ride of my life with my buddies at the Oregon Air National Guard, 114th Fighter Squadron. Got an email from Josh in Chobbies, Kentucky, and he...
Now, what's awesome about this is he piles out of the Jeep, and he's in a pair of, like, tactical pants, they're tan, and, I don't know, an off-white colored shirt, got a belt on. His shirt is bloused, just like he was wearing his Charlie's, right? So if you're a Marine, you watch this, it's hilarious, right? Dude squared away.
I wanted to see the old gunny take a ride in an F-15 fighter jet. If you want to take a ride in an F-15 Eagle, this is the place to do it, with the Oregon Air National Guard, 173rd Fighter Wing, 114th Fighter Squadron. Hoorah! Kingsley Field is one of only two places in the world where Air Force pilots can train to fly the F-15. And that's why they call it the home of the world's greatest air superiority fighter.
F-15, it's got great maneuverability.
All right. We were talking about the F-15 yesterday with Alex Hollings, that the Air Force doesn't want to admit it, but they need the appropriate mix of aircraft so they're not constantly doing what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, which was using like F-18s to do ISR, right? Which is intelligence, reconnaissance, surveillance. It's a pretty expensive ISR platform when you could accomplish that with a much, much cheaper asset. I'm just scrolling through his videos. Here's one entitled Fart Sacks and U-Boats, okay? These things, once you pull the commercials out, they're 21 minutes long. 21 minutes and 40 seconds long. All right, I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to find one that's funny. That you know will be funny. Bren gun and Predator drone. Helicopters, heavy transport, pistols, locked and loaded with R. Lee Ermey. I mean, he went around the world doing this stuff. I mean, what an awesome gig. But I told the story yesterday, though, of one of the funniest things I ever saw. Well, here's one. Maybe we'll listen to a couple. Here's one. Here's his crib. Here's his home. So here's Lee Ermey. His siblings called him Ron, which is, I guess, what the R stand for. But this is just about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Welcome back to Mail Call. You know, for a guy who spends a lot of his time out in the woods, I've got a pretty sweet setup here. And Earl out in Coos Bay, Oregon, wants me to give you a little tour. Welcome to my crib.
And when he's talking about his crib, he's talking about what he's standing in front of is a company CP tent. That's what he's talking about.
Come on in. This is my foyer.
So when you walk into a company CP tent, there is a foyer, right? You walk in and there's, I don't know, it might be 10 feet long. I don't know how many feet it is. It might be 6 feet long, 8 feet long, but it's you throw these. It's kind of like a canvas hallway that you walk into, and it is a foyer.
This is where I...
And the thing about the foyer is you always get jacked up in it. There's the flaps behind you. There's the flaps in front of you. And I'm not sure how it happens, but it always happens.
Welcome all my guests. Come on into the living room. My humble little abode is 100% cotton, especially treated to be... water-resistant, fire-retardant. Technically, It's an M1945 command post tent, but I just like to call it my little canvas mansion. This here's my cot. This is where I rest my weary head after a hard day in the woods.
You know, the thing about a cot that if you're a Marine that you have to master is how to put the crossbar in. And there's a technique to it, right? When you first join, you're like, you wrestle with the cot. And then all of a sudden you see some Lance Corporal, you know, stand it on its end, stand on the crossbar, and then sets it up in about 30 seconds. And you're like, oh, I'm stupid.
And this is my gold record. Got it from my 1987 recording of This Is My Rifle, This Is My Gun. And this here is my office complex. This is where I handle all the email that you people send me. This is a vintage combat field desk. I got a phone, handy talkie, all the latest electronics. This is my kitchen. Just about ready. This is the head. You civilians be calling their bathroom. This here's where I wash up after.
There's a cat hole in the ground. An E-tool next to it. It's hilarious. And there's a roll of toilet paper, and there's where he says, this is where I wash up, it's a steel pot with water in it. That's how you do it, though.
And check this out. These ammo boxes make great modular furniture. I can make it into a nice little coffee table, or a nice easy chair with a matching ottoman, or even elegant patio furniture. This here is my garden. This is where I grow the enemy. Your time is coming, baby. This is my ride. I'm thinking about dressing it up with some chrome rims, mud flaps, and reflectors. What do you think? Hope you like my crib. Thanks for coming.
All they did was goof on the, right? All they did was they goofed on the show Cribs. How funny. He got an award for this? A Grammy? What? He held a gold record. So probably goofed that too. But it's a scene out of Full Metal Jacket when he has them marching in the squad bay. And, this is my rifle, this is my gun, and meaning your genitals, right? This is for pleasure, right? This is for shooting, this is for fun. And even in this clip you just listened to, when he said, for this is my rifle, this is my gun, when he said gun, he looked down towards the ground. But he didn't stop. Just a little bit of subtle humor there. All right, here, I think, is his award-winning song.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
Let me tell you, it's hilarious, though, because what he did was he brought the stupid humor of the Marine Corps onto the big screen, man. And I'm going to tell you, that stuff is funny. That stuff is funny. So he was laid to rest. He passed away a year ago in April. And the world will be a emptier place without him. So we'll take a break, and I'm gonna play some audio from him as we go through the second hour. We'll do a little tribute to Arlie Ermey because he is so funny, and he was, in my opinion, funniest. I don't think he got above the rank of staff sergeant though. So we'll talk a little bit about his bio. And then you'll hear a little bit of audio. So on a day that we will celebrate the life of Gunnery Sergeant, well, he was just known as the Gunny, although I don't think he ever attained the rank of Gunnery Sergeant. So we'll have a little fun here in the second hour today. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is...